I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 16 tonight. I want to feel like the Lord would have us preach here tonight. It's kind of praying if it wasn't the Lord's will that He'd just show us something else. But I'm going to look at Acts chapter 16. The book of Acts takes its name from the actions of the apostles. And I love this book because it's full of action. And it's, obviously, some people complain about the Bible because they're dead spiritually, but some people who are saved still find some boredom in the Bible because they need something engaging them. And they're not searching for something. They want something to just smack them in the face, maybe. I don't know. But this book will smack you in the face. This has got a lot of action in it. A lot of wonderful things here and stories here. We'll pick up with verse number 16. We've got time with Paul and Silas here. They're going to be interacting with the demonic world, with those who have spirit of divination, it's called. They're able to divine. They're able to, like the tarot cards and the fortune tellers, they're able to supposedly predict your future, or contact with mediums into the unseen world. And all that's of the devil. It's all demonic.
That's right.
And the demons will tell you your grandma's name or whatever, but none of that. The only spirit you need to focus on is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But here, that was a real power, that was a real thing, and when Paul and Silas were traveling and preaching and all that, that was the spiritual battles taking place. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and Silas. In verse 17 continues, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." It's probably some irritating sound like that. Very annoying. It annoyed Paul eventually. They kept saying it over and over. The demon within them kept crying out of the truth about them, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned aside to the Spirit. "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour, which means right then. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Isn't it amazing what the world calls trouble? See that today, don't we, a lot? "Teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates, this is where the law engages, rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, so they beat them with whips, striped their bodies, they're bleeding, bruised, cut open, beat for the gospel's sake, beat because this girl, well, devil, has now been set free, and it took away her ability to tell the future, or supposedly tell it, and they have in bondage here and beat them here. And the Bible says in verse 23, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. There was a deeper set of cell structure within the main part of the prison. So this was deeper in, or now you could say they're in deep. All right. The Bible says in verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you help us, Lord, as we look at a few thoughts tonight out of this passage of Scripture. Lord, our heart is leaning to what I hope you will use it how you will use it and what I hope you'll do with it and do for us. But I know, God, that all is in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, unless you anoint it, unless you use it. But God, this is your word, and you promise it would not return unto you void. And I ask you, God, to help it prosper. Help it, God, to prosper in the thing whereto you have sent it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message tonight is, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And you'll come into that situation in your life many, many, many times. Now, these men were doing right. They were doing what we know is the will of God. They were preaching. They were proclaiming. They were practicing their Christianity. They were walking around and traveling and interacting with people, trying to connect with the people. And as they were going, this demon was like a magnet, came to them and began to speak to them. And finally, Paul had enough of it. And he turned around and said, Get out! And he's like, Come out! I command you to come out. So the demon had to come out. And she was left with no pretend qualities to... She probably couldn't guess how much lint was in a dryer. I mean, she's in pretty bad shape. She's bad shape. And so the men, the people got mad and they began to attack. And so the long story short with that is that they get attacked. They get beaten with stripes and they go to jail. They're put into the innermost part, deeper in, maximum security as you might call it. And now they're in a situation where it might be likely they're going to be killed. They're going to be executed. The mob mentality, the multitude wants to come after them. When you start messing with people's money, you get them mad. When you start upsetting that, people will tolerate your religion until you start messing with their lives. They'll put up with your Christianity until you start messing with their lives. When it starts affecting them, then they'll attack you. So if you're living under the radar and you're not putting many ripples in the pond, it's because you're probably not really trying to live it right around the word. If you cuss with the workers and lie with the workers and steal with the workers and the kids in school and you do every wicked ungodly thing that they do, you're not going to rock the boat, not going to make any waves. But if you go out there in the darkness and start trying to penetrate it with the light that God's put in you, you're going to shake some things up. And you might get in some circumstances that you just don't know what to do. Now, I think sometimes we fail to understand that Paul and Silas were in pain here. They were physically beaten. They were attacked and beaten with these stripes. They were bleeding. Their body was throbbing with pain every time. I would assume at least out of the one of the two, one of them had a headache. Because I get a headache a lot when things start falling apart and there's pressure. When I get hurt or injured or I've just been through a really rough time, it seems like my head just begins to throb. So probably somebody had that going on. There's a lot of suffering and pain going on with these two men. And in a time like that, sometimes you just begin to question your own spiritual condition and where you are. And then the devil likes to come along and say, Look where you are. You're in prison. How did this walking for God thing work out for you today? The devil likes to do that because he wants you to quit. He wants less and less people in God's work, His army. And I want you to think about this story. It's a simple little outline. We'll get it done as quick as possible. But number one, for the sake of numbering them through there, I've rewritten this thing so many times. It's sad. But look what time it was. It's midnight when they begin to pray and sing praises. Midnight. Now, this little thought hit my mind. A lot of times midnight is a symbol of it's too late. Isn't it? It's too late. During the Bible school one night, we had a scene there where it was way after midnight and there was a jailbreak and the Lone Ranger was, like Sheriff Ethan was getting ready to come out and his cue and the music to play and he's like, it's too late for that. It's time. We should be in bed. Well, midnight's the time where most people think that it's past the point of doing anything about it. You have to wait till the next day or it's too late to do anything about it. And many times, midnight symbolizes that. And I got to thinking about that in our lives sometimes. It looks like it's just too far gone. It's just too late to do anything about it. And we begin to doubt God. We begin to doubt ourselves. Well, if I could have done this sooner, if I could have done this earlier, if I'd have known about it here, or know about it there. Well, all those things may be true of our limitations and our abilities. We are weak. We are limited. We cannot, but God can. He is not limited. He knew about all of this. He knew that day they were walking. Them boys will be in jail in just a little while. And they're going to get beat almost nearly probably close to death. I mean, really wore out, hurting, beating, striped up, scarred up, swelled up. Everything that leather does on you is almost like a burn of a heat of a burning, and all those things. Yet God knew about that. And you can turn around from that and say, well, if God knew about that, then I hate God. And I will not serve a God who allows such things. Or either you embrace a God like that in the midst of that time of trouble and just trust Him and try to follow Him and see what His plan is. If He is an almighty God, He does have a plan. If He's got flies flying around His head like those cartoons, like some half-baked God, then you might be in trouble. But I don't serve a God like that. I serve an almighty God that is in control and knows everything that's going on in my life. And I want to mention this to you. If you think it's too late, think about this. If it's not too late for you to go in prison or go in that situation, it's not too late for God to bring you through it. It's not too late for you to see God's strength in it and around what's going on there. So if it's not too late for that to go on, then it's not too late for my God. And even if it's too late for them, it's never too late for God. Remember, Lazarus was dead 4 days. By superstition of the Jewish culture, he was already stinking and rotten, and you wouldn't touch him. There was absolutely no hope anywhere in the Scriptures, in the Torah at all, that there could be a resurrection. Yet, Jesus comes 4 days late, right on time, and raises him from the grave. I believe you waited on purpose to break those superstitions, to overcome those traditions in our life, that mentality when we think it's too late. It's midnight. It's too late. Look where they are. They're in prison. But they're not just in prison. They're in the inner prison. They're deep in it. They're in what we might say, boy, that one's in too deep. That one's too far gone. This situation's too far gone. Maybe we could jailbreak them out, but now they're in the inner chamber. There's no way we can get through both chambers and get to them and break them out. It's too far gone. And think about that, how that could get to you when you've been beaten and now you're in prison. And what imprisonment implies here. I got to thinking about that a little bit. I thought about, when you think about prison, you think about walls that separate you from your family.
Yes.
Thing, a roof and security are things that not bring security to your soul, but they trap you and they bind you, and you're behind locked doors, and it represents lost freedom, and it represents, it seems like, that there is no hope and there's no reason to hope. In verse 23 and 24, the Bible said that was they were in that prison and in that inner prison deeply within there. So you think about what time it was, looking what time it was for this situation when they didn't know what to do, looking where they were in this situation when they didn't, they could have decided, I don't know what to do. You know, I've had a long day. I'm really not real pleased with my God right now. I think I'm just going to take a nap and go to sleep and try not to think about nothing. But here in the midst of all this, we look at what they did. At midnight in verse 25, the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They began to pray. I believe there's a order to this.
Yeah.
I believe there is a origin and then there's a end game here. I believe when they started praying, it turned into praise.
Yeah.
I really believe that with all my heart. I don't know what they prayed for. I don't know if they got down and got to praying for the magistrates that ripped their clothes off and began to curse and carry on. They were praying for that young lady. Said, Lord, she's kind of out by herself because we're in jail now. And you know they're going to probably treat her bad. Lord, protect her. Help her. Lord, just keep shaking this place up. Maybe they got to praying for the jailer. Maybe that warden, that jailer. Now, he got the call, right? He got the charge. Take care of them safely. You got it. I'll put them way, way, way back in there. I'll make sure they're real safe. Maybe they begin to pray and call His name out in prayer. And then the praying, talking to their Heavenly Father, it began to change maybe their attitude within, even though their circumstances without had not altered at all. But it does something to us internally. And they begin to pray, and the Bible also says they sang praises unto God. In prison, with stripes on their back and their body. And they begin to do that. They got to thinking about this. Prayer
and praise, or singing praise, or prayer and songs. I don't know why this came to my mind. This might mean something to you more than it does to me. And I thought about prayer. Prayer is words talking to God. We understand many times prayer is asking God for something. Most of the time in our lives, prayer is asking God for something. And many times, when it comes to our prayer language, well, if we're bragging on ourselves, it's probably thousands of words. But when we don't hardly know what to do, it's probably, "Oh, help. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. We're in a mess." It just gets real simple and to the point. You don't have to fluff and puff. You don't have all the decorations. I mean, when you're in a mess like this, you really get serious with God and get to the point. And I got to thinking, when it comes to words, they're just letters and words. Every word is made up of a letter. When I got to thinking about a song, songs are made up with notes. When you talk about the melody and the harmony and all the parts of that music, there might be just one note. And that one note, if you just play it on the piano, it may not mean anything to anybody. But when you put all those notes together, every little piece of trouble and problem and every bit of pain and every bit of that prayer and every bit of that praising goes together, it began to work together. And the Bible says, look what happened in verse 26. The end of verse 25, look who heard them. Other fellow prisoners. Now what you're going through right now, you may feel like you're here with Paul and Silas. And it may not be about you as much as this is about maybe other prisoners who are in the prison as well with you. And they need to hear something from you that is real. Brother Robert mentioned this in our Sunday school this morning. We need some people that are real. Well, you don't find out you're real until something really, truly happens in your life to prove you are real. There's a lot of fake Christians out there, and they just kind of, it seems like everything goes well in their life, and they just soaring through, and they got million-dollar mansions and whatever, and they never have any heartbreak, never any sickness or problems, and then going through, and they want you to trust God and give money to them or whatever. I don't know. It seems like they're just living in a sitcom. Well, I'm going to tell you this. The thing is that there are real problems that real people go through, and I would never know God was real until I was put to the test of my faith. And I have felt His presence. I have seen that unseen hand. I know that God is real. I'm not trying to say I want you to go through something, but some of you, especially some of you young people, you are never going to understand how real God truly really is until God puts you through something. We got some people in our church like Sister Tonda who lost her leg and went through cancer when she was a young girl. She found out then that God was real. Yet, it wasn't the only battle. More and more battles kept coming, and they're going through a battle right now, and I never would be able to face the current battle. I wouldn't know what to do if it hadn't have been for the past battles that I had fought to know that God was real. And look what they did in that moment. The Bible says they prayed and sang praises. Those little notes begin to go up towards God. Those little letters begin to go up, and it formed a word, it formed a song, a melody, and they're praying, and now they're singing praises, and I wish I knew some songs that they might have known back then. I sure would sing the fire out of it right now. I don't know all those Hebrew turning Greek influenced songs to go there, but I can sing this one when I get my breath, and I'm going to get it, because I know that's what the Lord wants us to do. Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all,
replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses. I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me. Undeserved, God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. And way down cell block 15, one of them fellas heard something stirring.
Yes, sir.
And that irritated jail warden, he started feeling the breeze of the Holy Ghost come into that place.
Yes, sir.
And God no longer could contain Himself. And He began to shake that place. That's not glued. I did not destroy that. That's not glued. Ask Brother Donnie. He sat in it many times. He shook that place.
Yep.
He shook the foundations,
yes, sir,
of that prison. And He shook every person. Every person in that building, in that prison, was shaken as well. And if for nothing else, if we can just pray and sing praises and just let go and let God do some shaking, it may shake the place that's trapping us down. It's going to shake the people that are around us. God's able to shake loose the thing you want. You won't shake it as much as anything. And look at here in the context of this scripture. The foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. I'm going to tell you, when God starts shaking things, doors open that you thought,
that's right,
never, never. I've looked at doors, I've tried to open them myself. And I can't tell you what. I just tell you, it's amazing sometimes. He's just praying. He says, all right. I pray a little while, Sister Virginia, and then my heart starts churning. I say, no, I think I'll just praise Him a little while. And then doors start opening. You can't explain it. Only way you can do is just say, there is an unseen hand. There is a real God. And I'm glad He chooses many times to shake up people, shake up places, open doors. And the Bible also says here that everyone's bands were loosed. Even the worst prisoner way in that prison that no doubt deserved to be there way more than Paul and Silas, the bands fell off the arms, fell off the feet. What would you do if you were on death row and this crazy stuff was going on in here? Somebody down there, Paul and Silas, just were singing away. I don't know if they could sing in key or they sing as bad as I did, but they did. They just singing and they caterwauling and they just having a time. Boy, you sure got messed up, Paul. Boy, you look rough, Silas. Glory to God. It's amazing we survived this. It sure is. Boy, ain't God good? Yes, glory to God, He's good. And they all down there said, what is wrong with us? A bunch of Fruit Loops down there. They're crazy. Boy, God, the Bible teaches us that He inhabiteth the praises of His people. It doesn't mean the praises are merited based on how good it is in our life, how smooth sailing it is, but it's based upon how deserving our God is. And whether you truly want to worship Him or not. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Not about happiness or circumstance, but the true thought of the nature of who God is. And they begin to do all that. And the place was shaken. And man, so many things begin to go on. And everybody's bands were loosed. And yet, here's a miracle within a miracle. The keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword because he knew it would be required of him as a warden, a jailer. That he would be responsible for every prisoner. He decided he'd just take his own life. There would be no way anybody would have stayed in there. But they were more shaken, yet more locked down by the power of God. They were safer to stay in prison at that moment than they were when the doors were closed. That's an amazing thought.
And those fellow prisoners needed to hear them praying, needed to hear them singing, and they needed to see God doing some shaking. There might be some people in your life, and God put you in some tough situations. It may be God's getting ready to do some big, important things. And the Bible says he would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice. I want to ask you this. I don't know what you think about the Bible. Some of you might not have much to care for the Bible at all. I mean, if you don't read it, it's obviously you don't value it much as a book. But if you do read it some, maybe you're interested in this. How did Paul see in the darkness? Do thyself no harm. God gave infrared vision to him. God just let him know, tell that man, don't take his life. I got plans for that man. Well, the Bible says they tell him, do thyself no harm. And we are all here. Can you imagine when he heard that? They're all here. Even the newbies are still here. He just went in. Would that not be the only thing on your mind, Brother Donnie, is getting out? Isn't that what we do when God puts us in something? We want to get out. As soon as we go in, we want out. We think about getting out. That's all we think about. Boy, God help them men to say, you know what? We're here. Let's just pray. And then it turned into singing praises. And then it turned into God doing some shaking. And then it turned into some bonds being let loose. And then it won't be long. It'll turn into somebody going to get saved. Well, it's amazing when God could just... When you decide just to give Him the glory, it's amazing when He gets the glory. He called for a light. And He sprang in. That means He was trucking. He was moving. He was jumping. Amen. He jumped in there in on him and popped in that room. And he came in trembling. Thank God for old time Holy Ghost conviction that'll tremble you in your soul and shake you. They threatened them and beat them and attacked them and threw them in jail. And it seemed like the whole while that God was not in control, that the devil was in control and the devil was mad and punished them for messing with his girl. Yet God shook that whole place up. And now the prisoner, jailer, the warden, prison warden, the jailer, comes in, falls down before him, and he brings them out. It's amazing they got out. They still got out, but they got out with authority. Amen. Let God be the authority that brings you out of your prison. Quit trying to break out on your own. Let God do it. He brought them out. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I don't think he was talking about saved from death, because he was getting ready to take his own life. I believe he got it. They got something I don't got. They're praying to somebody that's real that I don't know. They're singing praises about stuff that they're going through that doesn't make any sense. They're worshiping a God I do not know and understand. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on. Get this. Many of you believe in God. The Bible even says that the devils fear and tremble. They believe. They know. As this girl, because she was filled with a demon, she just followed Paul and Silas around. Oh, you guys are great servants of the Most High God. They just kept on. And Paul said, God, get out of her. He had enough. That demon was real. It recognized these Christian men, the Spirit of God that lived within them. It knew that they were real. And here in this story, the Bible says, believe on. Many times people talk about, well, I believe in God. I believe there's a creator God. I believe there's a God that made the universe. I believe in Jesus or whatever. But have you believed on Him? Have you placed your whole being, your will, your life, and say, I'm a sinner. I surrender my life to You. I accept You as my Savior. Save me. Change me. Be the Lord of my life. Give me a reason to live. Give me a reason to pray and to praise God in the midst of a prison. I want what You got. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm standing on that faith right now. And many of you are too. And you feel hurricane winds trying to blow you off. But the Bible says this, even in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, chapter number 2, He keeps the feet of His saints. Yep. He's got you. He's got you anchored down. There's no storm of wind that will assail or blow you away. Unless God allows you to move, you will not move. And the Bible says, Paul and Silas said, if you'll do this, you'll be saved and your house. Only phraseology like it anywhere in the Bible that I know of. And your house. Now, if he could see in the dark, I think he was seeing in the light here. Right? He's thinking, this is about to get good. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. So there was kids there, and mama was there, and maybe a grandma and grandpa and the uncle and a cousin, and maybe a goat. I don't know. There's a lot going on here. And this whole family heard the word of God. And I no doubt they had, as the scripture talks about being brought out in the story here, they know something miraculous had happened. I mean, think about this, Brother David. Somebody in your family goes to work at Perry Correctional Prison. Y'all know where that is, don't you? And they come back a couple hours later with two prisoners. what's going on? Well, there's an earthquake at the jail. And these two fellas here were part of the reason why there was an earthquake. And I got saved and trusted in Jesus Christ as the Savior of my life. And I thought the best thing, the next best thing to do was bring them home to you. That's crazy, isn't it? Let me tell you the story. I was trying to sleep and they started praying and started singing and the earthquake and shook the whole place. The doors opened wide. All the bonds fell off of everybody and nobody moved. And apparently they locked the doors back and they're still in there to that moment, staying in their position because God was at work. God will keep things in their place and He'll move things He wants to move when He begins to get involved. And the Bible says, verse 33, He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. A man that would put a stripe on you one moment, now he wants to wash off the dirt and the grime and bandage it up the next. That's a changed man. That's what God does in a person's life. That's what He could do for you. And listen, when you don't know what to do, just give it to God. Just do the two basic things that we can do. We can pray. And it's probably going to eventually, if you stay in there long enough in that prayer closet, it'll turn to praise. It'll turn to singing praises unto the Lord. I would come out of my prayer closet, dark, despair, depressing times, difficult situations in my life. I've come out of that. I've gone into that prayer closet with not much hope. Didn't feel a lot going on. And I come back out of there. Everything was the same except for me. Amen. Everything was the same except for me. And my God was now bigger in my soul than He was when I went into that prayer closet. And that's what happened to these men. And the Bible said He washed their stripes. He got baptized. I have no idea how all this went down. But if God did everything He did in those previous verses, why do you not believe what could happen in the afterward verses? Amen. As far as I know, they could have got baptized in a horse trough or a bathtub or a whatever, a well somewhere close by. Or who knows what? There might have been a stream close by. I heard of a missionary, a preacher, and this man got saved in the ministry he was in, and there was no place to get baptized. And this guy kept coming after and after and wanting to get baptized. And he said, we don't have any water. He said, we got this stream behind our house. And he said, there's not enough water. He said, I want to get baptized. I want to follow this. I want a coming out party. And the man dammed up the little creek on one end and the other end and filled it up with as much water as they could, just a little bitty stream. He dipped him down in the water. And he said, a fish swam under the man's glasses. And a little minnow went down under there, and his nose is still sticking out of the water. But that man come up out of there happy and joyful in the Lord that he finally got to get baptized. So if there's a will and a desire, there'll be a way. Amen? And he got baptized, and the Bible said, and all his, every one of his. Wow. Straightway. When he brought them into the house, he set meat before them. And rejoice. Well, I'm telling you, that was some pure fellowship that night. He said, boy, I sure didn't like when I first saw you fellas, but I'm sure glad I got to meet you. Well, what a blessing to believing in God with all His house. And in the midst of all that, the very beginning, it seemed it was all about Paul and Silas. And it got much bigger than that. You need to learn to trust. The devil wants you to think it's all about you. But it's much, much bigger than that. God can do so much more if we would just do what we know to do in the midst of when we don't know what to do. And that simple thoughts of prayer and praise. If you'll do those things, I believe by faith God's able to do things just like He did in the rest of those verses in your life. Is there something that needs to be shaken in your life? A place, a person? Are there doors that need to be opened? Are there things in your life that you are struggling with and you know the only thing that's going to get you through it of what God allowed put you in? It seems like it's too late, too far gone. But these men prayed and they praised the Lord and God made